this episode of the Skiff Meetings podcast featuring Lauren Edwards, the Chief Sales Officer at Visit Phoenix, and Jane Vukovic, Director of Destination Services, also at Visit Phoenix. In our conversation, we talk about how Visit Phoenix can be seen as more than a destination marketing organization. It can really be an economic development organization that works through unique storytelling about the destination. We talk about working behind the scenes in once-in-a-lifetime experiences like hosting the Super Bowl. We talk about how conversations with planners have shifted over the years from being less about logistics and more about intellectual capital and really experiencing a destination. We talk about the continued challenge of finding great staff. And finally, we touch on the need for collaboration across the meetings industry, taking some inspiration from what was done during the COVID pandemic. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode of the Skiff Meetings podcast. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and please consider rating or leaving a review. Thanks for listening. Now for a word from our sponsors, PHL Life Sciences, a division of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. Host your convention or trade show in Philadelphia, one of America's leading life sciences hubs. PHL Life Sciences, the first and only CVB division of its kind, will connect you to the professionals at the forefront of your industry and to a culture you can only find in Philadelphia. A city known for its rich history that's forging a bright future, Philadelphia challenges the expected and defies convention. A world of discovery is waiting. Visit phllife.com to learn more. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Skift Meetings podcast. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Lauren Edwards and Jane Vukovic from Visit Phoenix. Lauren, Jane, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Miguel.
Thank you for joining us today. I know this is you're sponsoring the podcast for this month, and I really appreciate you sponsoring. The podcast is one of the favorite things I do at Skiff Meetings, and I enjoy these long-form kind of audio conversations. So I hope that you enjoy this as well and that we get to know a little bit about you. So I'd love to start with Lauren. If you could introduce yourself, your role, and what I like to ask is actually where you first came into contact with meetings and events. If you kind of go back in sort of like your career, when was the first time that you sort of realized that this was an industry? And then take us through to today and what you're doing today at Visit Phoenix.
Oh, boy. That's a good question. Well, I've been in the industry, I hate to say this word, this ages me, and probably almost 30 years. And I go back to where I got my start and my first taste of the industry working in the airlines with the airline industry in Antigua, which is where I'm from in the Caribbean originally. And, getting right out of college, I that's where I kind of fell in love with this notion of travel, being able to see the world and what that meant. I guess I always had this insatiable curiosity about the larger world. And so I ventured off to college in Florida, in Orlando, to study hospitality, to get into this business. And my dad was worked for the government, and he oversaw tourism, which was the mainstay of that economy, back then. And so I always said I wanted to do something in marketing in the hospitality industry. So that sort of piqued my interest. And then lo and behold, fast forward, graduating college, I got hired with Hyatt Hotels and got into the meetings industry, and had the pleasure of working in some key markets in the hotel side of the business in Orlando and Atlanta, opened a hotel in Denver and in Boston. And then 12 years ago, I figured I'd try my hand at CVBs, having never worked in a CVB, although having worked with several CVBs. So 12 years later, here I am, and I'm still loving it.
And your role at Visit Phoenix now?
So Chief Sales Officer with Visit Phoenix, which means I get to support the cast and crew and the sales and destination services area, as well as the tourism leisure sales efforts here in Phoenix. And of course, there's a lot of satisfaction we get with promoting this great destination, all of our wonderful partners around the city and our partners in economic development and such. So it's certainly been a great ride and feels like it's just yesterday. So enjoying it.
Okay. And Jane, would love to hear from you as well. Like, where did you first kind of understand the meetings and events industry?
Well, I have a very similar story to Lauren's. I also went to hotel school at Michigan State, started working in hotels part-time while I was in college. I was a banquet waitress, found that I liked that food and beverage and banquet side of the industry. So when I started in with Marriott originally, I started in convention services or meeting and events on the floors and learning from the bottom up what goes into making a meeting happen at a hotel. And from there, I transitioned into catering and events and moved over to Hilton and spent 25 years with Hilton, working in Chicago, Portland, Oregon, and in Phoenix. So had a wide variety of different sorts of downtown big boxes, smaller properties, resorts. So kind of ran the whole gamut of that. I knew right from the beginning I wasn't a salesperson in a true sense like Lauren is. I was more of a planner and a doer. So I stayed in that catering and event arena. And now I am currently the director of destination services at Visit Phoenix. And my role and my team's role is to be that liaison between the meeting planner and all of the partners they need in our city to make their event a success. So we're there to make sure that whole experience is good and help them find whatever they need.
Well, thank you for the introductions. Appreciate it. Lauren, I want to go back to you. Want to ask you a question about kind of past highlights. If you think about the hundreds of events or thousands of events that you've been part of, does anything really stick out as sort of like, you know, a great story or a celebrity or something that happened that you're really like, you know, this is really something that really sticks out for me? I can see you smile. We're on video, but of course we can't see the smile on audio, but you're smiling. So something must come to mind. I'll start with Lauren, but I'd love to get kind of an idea from both of you.
Well, you know, I think one of the neat things that we get to experience in destinations is how do mega events come to fruition? You always hear about the Super Bowl. You hear about you know, events like the World Cup and, you know, the MLB All-Star Games, NBA All-Star Games, Final Fours. As a matter of fact, we're gearing up Phoenix for the Final Four next week, right, Jane? And so for you basketball fans out there, you know, keep focused on what's happening in Phoenix in the next week or so. But getting back to your question, I think, you know, my first sort of wow moment was my first time experiencing the Super Bowl in Phoenix when we hosted it back in 2015. And really the sort of the groundswell of emotion with all of the work that had to go into it for years and years in advance to really pull off such a marquee global event was pretty profound and still sticks out to me as one of those sort of, you know, seminal moments, you know, being able to sort of reflect on, you know, it's getting the hotel community involved, getting, you know, the all of the city partners, whether it's streets, so convention center folks, our safety and security team, the years, the hours and hours of work and manpower that goes into making sure that there's every detail is accounted for, and then there's fail safes and backups and all of those things that really go into making this event such a global spectacle. And, you know, I had a chance to experience the game itself, and it's such a great show, it being such a great showcase for the destination, even from an economic development standpoint. And when all the eyes of the globe are on the destination, those key hero shots that you see of our rugged mountains and our beautiful weather, the sunshine, when most of the country's cold, most of the places around the world are experiencing winter. And here we are, we're having this amazing weather, which is what we're certainly known for, and being able to see that and convey that the world over was one key standout. And of course, you know, it's a star-studded event. If you, for those that have been to a Super Bowl, you'll see, you look around and you're seeing A-list, you know, celebrities. And, you know, I had a chance to get a selfie with David Beckham, believe it or not, who was sitting a few rows behind me. He actually wanted a photo with me. But certainly one of the standout celebrity pinch yourself moments that I had. But things like that you get to touch and be a part of, and all of the work behind the scenes that goes into executing an event like that was pretty cool.
I love it that you talked about a celebrity moment, but actually you highlighted the work behind the scenes. It sounds like you're a planner at heart, right? It's not just about who's up there, but all the work and seeing everything happen behind the scenes.
Well, the devil is in the details, and to really see that global spectacle, you know, on TV, broadcast the world over, and knowing that somehow we had a hand in putting it all together, you know, there's, you know, that certainly is a very proud moment that we all share, and we're just one cog in the wheel of a whole community of partners and members that that really have a hand in executing an event like this.
Jane, how about you? What would be your highlight?
Well, career-wise, I'll move back to my time in Chicago, and you'll see that Lauren and I have very different stories. But mine is being in charge and helping plan the opening of the Lyric Opera at the Hilton Chicago in our one of our beautiful ballrooms. And it was just a glittering event with some stars as well, but more of the opera world. And being able to work with our chef to pair a Russian-themed dinner that went along with the opera, it was so much detail and so much planning. And just having that black tie event come to fruition and just see the magnificence of it. In my mind, those are the things that stick out to me, is when that perfect event comes together and it all works. So those are sort of some of the career things. I too have met a few. I'll tell you one more quick story. When I was in Portland, we hosted an event where John F. Kennedy Jr. was the speaker, and I had the honor to meet him and escort him up the elevator to the meeting room. And this was such a big deal back then. I was on the local news being interviewed about that interaction I had with him, and being a catering event person, they asked me what was I'm most worried about. And the only thing I was worried about is that the elevator didn't break down as we were moving up to the ballroom, because it could have been disastrous if anything like that happened. So it's just funny how kind of like Lauren said, even though there's this big star in front of you, what you were really focused on is how smoothly is that whole interaction going to go and reflect on your destination, as well as your hotel or event that you work at. So
yeah, that host role, right? That's sort of, yes, you're exactly responsible for everything working. So great. So I want to talk a little bit about Visit Phoenix, and I guess it's also a host in many ways, right? That the role that you play, and maybe start with Lauren. Could you just explain to us briefly how Visit Phoenix operates, and we can talk about the details about how you work with planners and et cetera.
Sure. So obviously we're the destination marketing arm of the city of Phoenix, and we are contracted to sell, promote, market the destination as a whole, to drive visitation from all corners of the globe. And so when we talk about visitation, it's leisure visitors. Through our efforts with our partners in the Arizona Office of Tourism and our sister regional DMOs as well, and through our collaborative efforts and through our partners in travel. That has sort of global reach for our key feeder markets and the cities that we are looking to attract visitation from across the globe, and of course domestically here as well. And then on the meetings and convention side is the MNC side. The Phoenix Convention Center is squarely within our purview. That's really one of the key areas of our focus, is to drive meetings and conventions into the Phoenix Convention Center. That's really where our bread is buttered, you should say. And so how we do that is through a whole, sort of a wide variety of efforts, and that's working with our hotel partners, of course, our economic development partners, and working with our industry partners as well, or third-party partners in all of the hotels here in the city to really craft, compelling reasons to drive visitation year in, year out, to keep that building full. Because we know that conventions, I like to say that conventions and what we do, that we're an economic development organization. And I think that that's one of the areas that we're certainly focused on, and that probably not unique to Phoenix, but I'm really keen about shifting that vernacular to economic development. And what we do is economic development, but we just happen to do it through the lens of meetings and conventions and driving leads of visitation, because we think of the impact of the industry on the city and on the state. It's pretty impressive. And so for us, that's what we do. And we do it through storytelling, unique storytelling about the destination, the sense of place that is unique, and that has a unique global appeal to visitors from all over the world, as well as it's a great place to have a meeting. So working with our economic development partners to drive business attraction, we're no different. We're just bringing visitors here year in, year out, and working with all of our economic development partners to really create that narrative that this is a great place not only to expand a business, but to come on a vacation, to host a meeting. And so our tentacles sort of run far and wide to really create that compelling narrative about the destination. So that gives you a little insight into who we are and what we do.
Sure. And Jane, maybe you can explain to us, for planners, when planners kind of approach, maybe they're considering Phoenix or a destination with it within, near Phoenix, et cetera. Where do you normally start working with them? Is it sort of like, do you help them prepare the bids? Do you get support? How does that process work?
So during the sales process, our sales team takes care of working with that client to find out all of their needs. And like Lauren said, primarily, where we work a lot with the convention center, but we also have a whole team that works with any of the resorts in the valley. So anyone looking for any sort of hotel. But yes, our sales team will take and put those bids together. They'll work with all the different hotels to come up with the rates that will work, the space that will work between the convention center and our downtown hotel properties. And they are the glue that holds that whole process together, because without the sales team there to negotiate and put all those puzzle pieces together, it would be difficult for a planner to come into a city and make that happen. So as a DMO, that is probably our superpower, is our ability to create that synergy between all of the partners downtown to make it a successful booking.
Sure. And then once the contract's signed, what happens then?
Then my team takes over, and we typically work 2 years to 18 months out with a group. And what we do is introduce them to all of the marketing material and products that we have to help support their meeting, which can help them with attendee interaction and getting the delegate count up for them, help them for just show them all of the things that they can do in our city. We work with them when they come into the destination for planning site visits and help them go back to the hotels that they have booked, to the convention center, to revisit that and start their planning process. We help them find any sort of offsite venues that they might need while they're here. We connect them with all of our partners, whether it be for food and beverage, transportation, I need a florist, whatever that need may be. We'll connect them to that. Any thought leadership in the area, you are, let's say, a medical convention and you need the biomedical area. We have a huge biomedical campus here. We can connect them with speakers. We can connect them with on-site activities they can do there. Same with our growing tech industry. We now have contacts where we can supply a speaker base for them that's local and can speak about the market here. So our job, as I had said before, is really just to be there. If you have a question about your meeting, you're going to come to the Destination Services team. And if we don't have a specific partner, we're going to connect you to someone in the city. We will find that person for you or that service to help you make that a success.
It sounds
like goes back into providing some really good context on around, you know, what is our role really? We look at ourselves as that sort of gateway to the community, the community of intellectual capital. So it's beyond just coming in for a meeting or a convention or trade show for a two-day period. How is that convention making an impact or leaving an impact in a destination long after the last guest has checked out, right? And so that's where we, as a destination management organization, that's where we're spending a lot of time and energies and focus and building those relationships and understanding really what is that framework of intellectual capital. What does it look like? What is happening in the destination that our clients can really tap into to create some unique programming opportunities and so that are enriching and relevant to a convention. And so that I think really gets to the real kernel of what we do. As a DMO, it's being that community connected, being that bridge to the outside world of meetings and events, and how can we create these experiences or help our customers create these experiences that are long lasting, not only to our community, but transformative to the attendees that come in.
Are you ready to celebrate your successes in the world of meetings and events? The Skift Meetings Awards are back for 2024, recognizing the most innovative business events companies across 15 categories, and we want you to be a part of it. Winners will feature on Skift Meetings, sending a clear signal to events professionals around the world that these are partners they can rely on. The final deadline for submissions is June 11th. We encourage you to start your submission today to secure the best entry rates. For more information and to start your submission, head to live.skift.com.
Curious about the conversations that you're having with the planner community and in this idea of intellectual capitals. I mean, let me know if I'm thinking about this wrong, but I would imagine those conversations have shifted quite a bit over the number of years that you've kind of been involved in this. Are the conversations very different now, and how are they how are they different? Jane?
I think that the good thing about nowadays, our people are looking for obviously new ways to bring content, bring the destination they're in into their meeting. So it's not in the old days, and I don't want to say old days because I was around during the old days, but you know, you went to your meeting, you were in that space, everything, you already had it programmed, and then you left. And I think what's so great now is the fact that you're trying to bring in the destination. Most meeting planners that we talk to, they don't want their people to just walk in, sit in the ballroom and leave. They want them to experiencing the destination. So they're building that into it much more and bringing their attendees outside into the destination. So I think for us, that has been the most positive change is you just see so much more interaction and that thirst for the knowledge and the education of this community, whether it be our indigenous nations here, that those things are what people want to share now with their attendees that maybe has nothing to do with the content or what they're focused on as an organization, but it's important to them that they pull that education in.
You know, we like to think that, you know, the convention, what is the convention footprint? Is the convention footprint that the traditional four walls of a show floor? Is it the four walls of a ballroom? And so I feel like we're sitting in that perfect seat where we can challenge and stretch the imagination of a lot of our planners to say, how do we take the convention? How do we create a footprint in the city for the event? So having breakouts, you know, at several of our coffee shops and our venues. And I know we have food and beverage minimums and all of those things that we have to contend with, right, Jane? But I can't help but think that we've got all of these great little communities that could be programmed, whether it's in Roosevelt Row, right? Or Roosevelt Row Arts District, that is a couple of blocks away from the convention center with all of the hotel rooms around it. That's an area that could be programmed. Third Street, Canyon and Third, which is this huge 80,000 square foot esplanade that sits right between our convention centers. That too could be a unique place that offers so many imaginative types of experience. If they can think it, they could be created there. A warehouse district, which is the hotbed for our tech startup community right here in downtown Phoenix. There's some really unique learning lab type spaces over there that could house workshops and house sessions and house networking opportunities that our meeting planners really should think about. It's all within a walkable sort of footprint. So I think that is unique. That's, you know, that to me is different. And I think convention attendees are looking for that, you know, what is going to be different about this experience that we've not done before. And I think cities have this unique opportunity to really delve into, you know, thinking more broadly about designing an event within a city, the scope of a city, that's sort of beyond the boundaries of what has been, I would say, more of the traditional sort of programming flow. So I think that's one of the areas that we're pushing our customers into thinking more about when they come in for site visits, or we start down the phase of discovery of what is possible. It's more than just, you know, the traditional sort of scope of what we're used to, and really, yes, we're going to always have that need for a trade show or general session or that type of thing. But we can, you know, that sense of place, we want to make sure that we really instill that sense of place, because they could be in a trade show on a trade show floor in any city USA. They can be in a ballroom in any city USA. But how do we really instill that sense of place and really give them a unique experience? And so that's where I think that's where we're headed. That's certainly how we're encouraging our planners to really think about when we enter into that discovery relationship.
Yeah, I think you're touching on a really great kind of positive trend, which is this idea that making meetings and conventions memorable is what makes them stand out. And when you do that, you leave that intellectual capital in the city, or you can bring capital in, right? So it's a win-win situation. So it's very positive trend all around. I want to make sure we you know, that is definitely a positive trend, but I want to come back and sort of ask you also what's keeping you up at night, because I'm sure it's not all rosy, it's not all perfect, right? And are there things in the industry that sort of concern you, that you're worried about and you'd like to address or kind of find ways to work with better? And let's start with Jane first, if you don't mind. Anything come to mind in terms of challenges that you're facing that, yeah, you'd like to figure out?
Yeah, well, I I don't know if it's popular to talk about it anymore, but I still worry about staffing. Mm-hmm. For all of our convention center, our hotels, it's a lot of people have said, oh, COVID's over, we've moved on. And that is very true. Everything has improved, but there's still always an underlying staffing shortage in some areas, and not just shortage, but I would say experience level that tends to can sometimes rear its ugly head. So for me, that's one thing that I feel like still needs a focus. And as a city working together with different organizations on how can we find more staff, how can we source more people into this hotel and hospitality industry, which is extremely important that we keep that pipeline rolling and we keep this as a desirable job and career for people so that we can host these events. Because as we've all seen, we're back to business levels. Groups keep getting bigger. Everything is growing. So we need to make sure that the whole staffing component grows along with the industry. And I would say that's one of the things that I feel passionate about and that we need to keep promoting, that hospitality is a great industry to be in.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. It's definitely not necessarily fashionable, but important that we talk about it. And we just actually published a story a few days ago showing some data that suggests that around 2/3 of all event professionals are new in this industry. And right, if you're thinking about that, 2/3 are new, even if your staffing levels are at where they need to be, if 2/3 don't have the experience that they had, you know, that you had on your team before the pandemic, then things are just not going to be as smooth, right? You just have to keep fine tuning that and finding how to do that better. So thanks for bringing it up. And I think it's a big issue all around the industry. Lauren, you agree? You have anything else you wanted to add?
Sure. You know, and I you know, workforce development, right? And, you know, and that's a staggering statistic that you just touched on there, Miguel. You know, you think about the Great Resignation, and we experienced the Great Resignation as well as an organization. And it's only now we're getting back to that pre-pandemic staffing levels. But I also want to, you know, it might be a little tongue in cheek here, but, you know, I've always said, you know, never waste a good pandemic, right? And so going back to what keeps me up at night too, it's how we collaborate. And I feel like, you know, if there's anything that we've learned, because we always have to be in this, you know, how do we improve our processes? How do we improve our collaboration? How do we make sure that this industry really gets the credibility that it deserves, right? This was the industry that took the biggest lashing in the pandemic, biggest industry, right? And so, you know, us as a destination, as a DMO, working with all of our industry trade groups. We have Meetings Means Business Coalition. We have the Global Meetings Industry Day, which, by the way, is coming up here on April 11th. And we're very excited about that and the opportunity that we have there to really tell the story about the importance of this industry. And I always liken it to say, you know, let's think about every international airport. Think about your international airport, Copenhagen, right? Let's think about Phoenix Sky Harbor. Let's think about, you name it. How many people are getting on, that are boarding a flight, that are boarding a plane as we speak in any international airport that's attending a meeting, a workshop, a convention, a trade show, or going on vacation? Right. And then you try to put your head around that for a second and you say, yeah, you know, and then you say, then you start to think about that. Well, that is this industry. That is the length and breadth of what we do. Right. And think about that economy, that ecosystem, and how are we telling that story to our constituents? How are we telling that story to our communities and so that they can listen? And that they will support us, because this is an industry that can transform communities. I truly believe that, and so that is the work that collaboratively with U.S. Travel and so many other entities with whom we work with and whom we're aligned, we have to be really good at telling that story. so that it is supported at a local level, at a regional level, at a federal level. So when I think about what keeps me up at night, it's sort of a bigger scope in how are we collaborating with our customers? Are we having really transparent conversations with our customers and with our partners? So let's not waste a good pandemic. Let's figure this out. Let's boldly collaborate where we can to really help transform and elevate our industry, so it gets and receives the credibility that it deserves.
Yep, great message right there. So I want to start wrapping up, but I wanted to get a highlight from you, either of you, and maybe it'd be the same one, but I wanted to maybe cover an event that really impressed you. And I'm imagining you've seen quite a few large and impressive events come through Phoenix in the last few years, but are there any that really stand out for you? And I'd like to just focus on why they stand out for you. And Jane, maybe do you have any in mind?
Well, the one that pops right into my mind is a recent large convention that we hosted in January, which is the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. They came back to our city after many years, and this group did something that no other group has done at our convention center, where it's taken that our area between our two main buildings, which is called Canyon on Third, and they closed that down. And they used that for the entirety of their convention. So it wasn't just went out one night for a reception. It was incorporated into everything that happened during their event. And they went so far as to create a mini golf course right outside right in the middle of the area, showcasing all of their sustainability and their water reclamation and how the golf industry is focusing on ways to make golf sustainable. And it was something you could walk through and see underground and visualize the entire concept, as well as all of the large machinery it takes to run a golf course and to do everything you need to do. So it was a complete interactive area that was also activated throughout the entire conference. So for us, it was a great way of showing how you can extend the space of what we have, our footprint enlarges, and how you can bring the outside inside to your convention and really truly make it whatever you need it to be. So I think for me, that was probably the most impressive I've seen so far.
That sounds really memorable. So thank you for also sharing an example of how to make things, you know, memorable and stand out, but also leave a legacy. You know, with it's probably a use of the space that you're going to now suggest to many other clients, right? So hopefully that's something that goes forward. Lauren, does anything else come to mind, or is that your kind of highlight event as well?
Yeah, I would say that was pretty impressive. And, you know, what Jane just alluded to, it's sort of the, you know, trying to, address the narrative around the golf industry being sustainable, to tell that side of the story, and to really see it in action, and to also see how, or to learn how our community, our industry, and of course, golf lives, the Phoenix is a place, and Greater Phoenix is a place where golf truly lives, and to really see the impact not only to downtown, but around the valley, and how many of our resorts that have golf as their amenities, as their offering, how many of those folks were part and parcel of the destination showcase. The breadth, the scope that event touched for at least a good 10-day period was really impactful. And the story too, especially here in the desert, we're always concerned about water. And that we know is certainly an area of a lot of conversation, and for us to be able to showcase that sustainability showcase really says a lot about the collaboration with the organization that put on that event, all of our city partners that have a vested stake in, you know, the economic side of the golf industry, the sustainability side of the golf industry that is so impactful for the sustainable of our sustainability of our economy. So that to me was probably one of the more impactful events.
I love it. I think that's a great example for so many different reasons. So I want to ask the last question that we ask all our guests when we wrap up the show, which is to recommend another guest or guests to be on the show next. Who would you recommend?
Since we're talking so much about the golf event, I would certainly, you know, say that those folks would be a good, you know, contact to have on the show. Yeah, the golf course superintendents would be, I think that they would make for a great, your next great guest speaker.
Perfect. Well, let's make that connection and hopefully we can make that happen and learn about what went on behind the scenes with them planning this event that sounds really memorable. Lauren, Jane, thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the SCIF Meetings podcast and wish you lots of success with the Final Four and all the events you have coming up and for Visit Phoenix in general.
It's been a real pleasure, Miguel. Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel.